Melford's Axe by Roderick Graham, with Struan Roger and Sarah Kestelman.
An exercised horse should be sweating. This horse is not sweating, therefore it has not been exercised.
Yes, but sir,
damn it, man, you go for a gentle walk round St. James and you call that exercise? Think her out again and make a proper job of it this time. If I'd had you with me at Marston Moor, you'd have smelt what sweat was like. Now mount up and be off before I put you on report.
Sir?
Whittingham?
Whittingham, the colonel wants us right away.
Post, man, post! You're supposed to be a cavalry trooper, not a pregnant cook.
Dear friend, did you hear what I said? Colonel Hacker awaits our pleasure, and we await his extreme displeasure. He does not look, shall I say, serene.
That new groom is a disgrace to the Parliament. Now, what do you and the distinguished colonel want of me?
Our blood for his breakfast, I suspect. He was shouting for us both. He was shouting, you understand. Not his adjutant, but shouting in person. And he was turning a pale purple colour.
Bad news, therefore. Well, I've nothing to fear. I've done nothing.
Yes, well, that may be the problem, my dear. Oh, and button your tunic. You look like a drunken remnant of Rupert's rabble.
How's that? Smart enough for you?
Immaculate. Would you care to knock?
Ah, Whittingham, about time. Has Chard told you?
Only that you wanted to see us, sir, and that it was urgent.
Very well. The man Brandon refuses to do his duty. I offered him money, a great deal of money, but his conscience and his courage fail him. He is afraid that even in disguise he may be recognized. And no matter what his trade, the man is a civilian and cannot be forced. So, it will have to be done by the regiment.
Sir?
I want you to find a man, instruct him thoroughly, and take command of the detail tomorrow morning.
It is to be tomorrow, then, sir?
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I will be at St. James's tonight, but will join you then.
Sir, may I have Lieutenant Chard to assist me?
Certainly. Both of you, make sure that the man you choose is reliable and, above all, competent. This will stay in the minds of men forever. So not only is the reputation of the regiment at stake, but so will stand the honour of Parliament.
Sir, if the man Brandon feared for himself, might not our man be also in danger? Should he not be likewise disguised?
If you think it necessary, then do it. I did not place Whittingham and you in charge to arrange such details myself,
sir.
But see that he is well rewarded, even though he does no more than his duty.
I will see to it. Sir, do you want to meet the man after the event?
No, I do not. I do not even wish to know his name. Suffice it that he carries out the task with dignity and dispatch. The eyes of Europe will be upon us tomorrow, though the stands are far enough away for little to be heard.
Very wise. Long speeches would unnecessarily protract the occasion.
Quite.
I will ensure that you have no further worries, Colonel.
I shall have worries enough this night. Here is the document.
Chard and I will be about it directly, sir.
Do you not wish to read this, then?
No, sir. For it bears enough signatures to be legal without having to read it.
Lieutenant Chard?
No, sir.
Have it your own way, then, gentlemen. Have a care for your duties.
Very good, sir.
Until tomorrow, sir. Why did you not wish to read the paper?
I suspect for the same reason as you. You know what it was, of course.
Yes, I do, but under...
But not having read it, you can always deny all knowledge of its contents, or at least of their full implications. You have received an order, and as a good officer, you will carry it out. Have you a man in mind?
Well, none suddenly. A farrier would be good.
A farrier? Would be first class. Who dealt with my remount at Naseby?
Melford, Sergeant Melford.
She'd taken shot in the chest and was plunging about all over the field, and yet he had the head off in a single stroke. But will Sergeant Melford have the stomach for this? It will be no wounded horse he will have to deal with.
I have no doubt of it. He has been with the regiment since a lad, and seems to breathe loyalty. Must we press him to it?
It would be better if he were to volunteer, but if not...
Shall I approach him first? He must be made to understand.
Do so. But if your subtlety fails to attract him, I shall put the question more directly. Bring him to my quarters.
I beg the lieutenant's pardon, sir, but I'm not sure I do understand him.
Then let me put it more directly. At 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, outside the Palace of Whitehall, we wish you to cut King Charles's head off.
Well, that I understand. But why have I been chosen?
Because we believe you to be loyal to the regiment and to the Parliament.
And because it must be done quickly and expediently. You are an expert in the use of an axe.
Well, as part of my trade as a farrier. But why not the common hangman? He is also expert, is he not?
He has been asked, but refused.
And why should he decline? Was it not an honor and a duty to put an end to the tyrant king? Was it not why we fought him when he made war upon his own people?
It was indeed, Melford. Then you'll do it?
Well, I serve proudly. What time do I report and with what equipment?
Spoken like a soldier, Melford. But there are some other matters to discuss. Are you a married man, Melford?
No, sir. But I have a trollop and 2 fine sons.
Then, Melford, I urge that you mend the situation as soon as may be. To do a great deed, you must be, in all particulars, a respectable man. Not just to the army, but also to the people. Do you understand me?
Aye, sir, well enough. And my Mary will make no objection. When must it be done?
I will make the arrangements for Wednesday at about noon. But there is another matter, Melford, and one which you may find unpleasing.
Why, sir, and what is that?
You are to leave the regiment. You are...
But, sir, my life...
You are to leave the army, man. Never fear, you will be well taken care of, and your future is assured. But it cannot be a future in the army.
Oh.
Times change, and men's opinions with them. There may well come a time which will not smile on what we are to do. And it must be that no hint of blame will attach itself to the regiment or to the army.
But we carry out the will of Parliament, and through it the will of the people. These are our orders, and we must obey.
True. But it is as well not to obey too rashly, lest we seem to initiate our deeds.
I will be guided by my commanders, and by my conscience.
Don't trouble your conscience, Milford. But be at my quarters at 11 tomorrow with your axe. And see it is sharp. We are not butchers.
You may rely upon me, sir. What dress is it to be, sir?
It is of no matter. I will have black gowns for us, that none may make identification. And... Bring 2 lengths of rope.
Rope, sir?
Rope, Melford. We will make masks for our faces.
Must we be disguised, sir? Surely there is no shame in what we do.
No shame at all. But better to have a rope around the face now than around the neck in the future. No more questions, Melford. I will be likewise disguised and assist you tomorrow. Afterwards, I will tell you of our plans for your future. Now go. And talk to no one about this.
It will be worth a disguise to have a captain as my assistant. Will you take my orders, sir?
Melford.
Very well, sir.
Will you really stand assistant to him?
More than that. Lest the good sergeant's nerve fail him, I will have 2 pistols under my gown. In that extremity, a bullet will serve as well as an axe. And I'm sure Charles Stewart will have no opinion either way.
And I?
You will see Melford disguised here. Escort him to the scaffold, then return with him here. I will rejoin you as soon as I can.
Till tomorrow, then.
Till tomorrow.
I shall be very little heard of anybody here. I shall therefore speak a word unto you here. Indeed, I could hold my peace very well.
Will the king speak for long, sir?
As long as he wishes. Or as long as he lives.
When shall I do it?
The king will give his jewels to the bishop. Then he will kneel at the block. And then you will do it. In one stroke, Melford. In one stroke. Think that he is a wounded horse and strike with mercy.
Have no fear, sir. I will not fail you.
Have a care. He is coming to an end.
I think it is very well known to the world. And therefore I declare before you all that I die a Christian, according to the profession of the Church of England, as I found it left me by my father. Sirs, excuse me for this, but I have a good cause, and I have a gracious God. I will say no more. Colonel Hacker, take care that they do not put me to pain.
Yes, sir.
And, sir, this, and it please you...
He's talking to you. Mind the axe, for God's sake.
Take heed of the axe. Hurt it not, that it may not hurt me. I shall say but very short prayers, and then thrust out my hands. Dr. Jackson, my cap.
You nearly dropped it, you fool. Are you all right, man?
Steady enough, sir.
Does my hair trouble you?
If it could all be under the cap, sir.
Ah. Help me, Jackson.
There is just one stage more. This stage is turbulent and troublesome, but it is a short one. You may consider it will soon carry you a very great way. It will carry you from earth to heaven, and there you will find to your great joy the prize. You haste to a crown of glory.
I go from a corruptible to an incorruptible crown, where no disturbance can be. I shall now pray a little.
Stand close. Wait for him to stretch. Steady. Now. The head. Pick up the head. Oh, God. Stand back.
Behold the head of a traitor!
Well done, Milford. Well done. You've done your duty bravely. Mr. Chard will take you to my quarters, where I will join you as soon as I'm quit of my duties here.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Milford! Your axe! Forget not that. Forget not that above all.
I watched it all from the banqueting hall window. You performed nobly, nobly, Melford. Take some drink.
Sir, I would feel more noble if it had been a more open deed.
Ah, now that it may not be, nor must ever be. It is for your own protection, man. At the moment, we prevail, but in the future times, well, who can tell?
No doubt you speak sense, sir. No man shall ever hear of this from my lips.
Nor no woman, I trust. Ah, well thought, Chard.
No living soul, sir, if these are my orders.
They are, Milford. Now, Chard, is there a parson for tomorrow?
For tomorrow at noon.
Mr. Chard and I will stand witnesses for you.
I'm obliged to you, gentlemen. And my Mary will be honored.
I'm glad of that. And you will both leave London immediately after the ceremony, so be packed and ready. You must lose no time.
Lose no time? Where are we to go? And how may we get there? My horse is an army mount. If I'm to quit the service...
It is an army mount no longer. And there will be another for your bride and baggage.
Yes, but what... We will give you letters of quittance. Have no fear. Also, he will have the deeds to some compounded land.
A gentleman in Leicestershire was tardy in joining the Parliament's cause, so his land was taken to our use. In fact, he is a remote cousin of mine, but no matter. It is yours now. Much better for it, I'm sure.
There is a cottage and a smithy on it. You will prosper there, Milford. Have you belongings to take?
Only my soldier's box and my axe. Mary has some chattels, but not much, I think.
Good, good. Well, a fresh start. I envy you, Milford. I envy you.
And where is your Mary now?
This time I think she'll be at the cooking fire, sir.
Then go to her with the good news. You have much to tell her.
But not too much, eh, Milford?
So it shall be, sir. And, sir?
Yes, Milford?
My thanks, sir. It's...
It's no more than you deserve. This day you did a great deed for the people and Parliament. It may not be known, but it will never be forgotten. Remember that, Milford. Now, go to your Mary.
See you at your wedding, Milford.
Till tomorrow, gentlemen.
Shall we finish this? What do you think would happen if his secret came out?
The mob would tear him to pieces. For all that we would like to think otherwise, your average Englishman's a royalist at heart. Oh, we'll flirt with this Parliament and Master Cromwell, but we'll see a king back in Whitehall before our lives are out. Or Melford's, for that matter.
Then why?
It was a cruel necessity. Pour me some more wine, there's a good chap.
Jack, I'm here. I have it ready. Where have you been?
Come apart to the smithy. There's much I have to say to you. I'll bring the food.
Jack, were you in Whitehall? Did you see the dreadful thing they've done?
What thing? What dreadful thing?
The king, what they did to the king. Did you see it?
I was on duty. I was with my officers.
I was there, Jack. It was a great press, and I could not see clearly, but it was fearful. To cut off his head and hold it up as a traitor. Those who did it are no better than beasts. Savage animals.
They were but carrying out their orders, and I have seen many savage sights in this war, woman. An army has its duty to do.
There are none so blind as hide behind duty, Jack. This army of yours has become a beast. I often wish we were quit of it.
I said I was with my officers today. Well, they will give me letters of quittance and a handsome settlement to start a new life. If you wish it, we are to be married tomorrow and quit of the army by noon. You do wish it, don't you?
With all my heart. But the settlement, what if they get them?
A farm and a smithy somewhere in the north. 2 horses and some money to start us. And to have the deeds tomorrow when we are wed.
This is not ordinary. That would be a handsome settlement for an officer, but for a farrier? There is more to this, Jack Melford.
I did a great deed, and this is my reward.
What great deed? You're a farrier. What deed?
I was bound to silence, and so may not tell you. But it was not shameful, and that is all you may know. Is my word not enough, dear God, woman? Is a settlement not enough? Is it not enough that we have to be wed and quit of the army, quit of danger, quit of traveling in this life here?
Oh, Jack, it is enough. All my ambitions are met. But I would have started our new life without there being a secret between us.
Well, there it must stand, for I can do no more. Trust me and marry me, Mary.
I do. And I will, Jack.
Now it's Master and Mistress Melford. Good luck to you both.
And now you're a respectable married lady. You must be on your guard against lusty soldiers.
Oh, hmm? Well, yes, sir,
especially soldiers like Chard. Melford, now, Mistress Melford,
a word, if you please.
Aye, sir.
This is a letter, a very important letter. It is from Master Ireton himself, and endorses your ownership and freedom from the army. It also acknowledges Parliament's debt to you. Well, without going into the actual details, if you should ever find yourself in jeopardy, you may use it. But remember, it will cause questions to be asked, so be cautious. It is only for an extremity, you understand?
I understand very well, sir. I will keep it as I keep my secret.
Good man. In the village, ask for Master Price. He is a lawyer and will understand your papers. He may also be relied upon to arrange your affairs. Have you any questions of me before you start your journey?
No, sir. All is clear.
Then Chard and I bid you both farewell and good luck. You served well in the war. May you prosper in the peace.
Indeed so. Good luck to you both. You have a charming wife, Melford.
Aye, sir. I know it.
Come, Chard. Guard, Monty.
I've never spoken to your officers before. They're quite warm.
Mistress Melford, you are a married woman of some minutes' standing, and already you are seeking solace outside your vows. Where can this lead?
Well, what of it?
Sleep on the floor. We've done it on campaign often enough. The boys are already making pallets for us. It should only be for one night or two at the very most. Master Price assured us that the rest of the furnishings will be here with his carter tomorrow. Is it not enough that the officer's promises were good and that this place is ours?
It is indeed. And it is a very good place. Whose was it?
He was killed at Naseby. I do not know his name. I do not even know on which side. But he was a good smith. He left his tools and forge in fine condition, well greased and ready. And the house seems neat and clean enough.
It is. There's a dairy and barns. I wonder what happened to his wife.
Perhaps he was not wed. Perhaps does not matter. It is ours now. Ah, put the pallets down there. Yes. We will sleep in here for tonight. Well done. Now, get the other ones.
Right away, Father. But Luke wants to know if he's to become a farmer.
No, Ben, you are. Oh. Luke will learn my trade in the forge. You will help your mother in the fields. Now, get the other pallets and make yourself ready for bed. There'll be much to do tomorrow.
There always is.
Show respect to your father. It was his efforts that brought us here. Never forget that.
I think we should farm sheep. Master Price says they should do well here, and he can buy me a good flock to start. Their grazing will clear much of the land, and Ben is strong enough now to help you. Ben, bring my soldier's box through.
Coming, Father.
What do you want with it at this hour?
You'll see. Ah, thanks, lad. Now then, my axe. Good. About here, I think.
What are you doing?
That axe will stay on this overmantel as a memory. A memory of what I once was and what I once did. The rest of my box will stay locked. No need of soldiering now, and the axe is memory enough.
You said we were to leave the past behind. Why remember an axe?
I carried it as a badge of pride in the regiment, and I will have it here as a memory of that pride, that's all.
You said as a memory of what you once did. Did you kill a man with it?
You must not ask your father those questions, Ben.
Let the boy ask. In battle, I put wounded creatures under their pain. It was an act of mercy. Now, fetch Luke and get to bed.
Yes, Father.
Luke? Come, wife, we Luke. Too. For tomorrow, we must start the bustle.
You make good ale, wife. I never knew.
I was raised on a farm, and I had a life before Jack Melford. There's much you do not know, but you'll find out. Living in a baggage train does not let a woman show off all her talents, but here I can astonish you.
You already have. In no time, this place has become neat and orderly enough to gladden a quartermaster's heart, and without great disturbance.
Well, there's been disturbance enough. Ask Ben. He's been with me in the house and in the fields. He knows what work we've done while you and Luke have been lazing in the forge.
Lazing? Have you any idea how much work there is in a village that's been without a smith all this time? I must earn enough for us to have a spring planting. Winter was the wrong time to start farming.
It's always the wrong time to start farming. But we'll have some lambs soon enough, and they'll bring a good price. The war has left farms untended, and the markets will be greedy.
Give me some more ale.
You're as greedy as the markets. Even for a blacksmith, you have a good thirst.
And you shouldn't brew such good ale. So, you think we'll live until spring?
With luck, we shouldn't need to touch our money. We're beginning to feed ourselves now, so your money from the smithy can all go into the farm. We'll be prosperous in a year or two. Especially if you don't drink all of the ale. And remember, you're training Luke to look after the forge.
Glory, Luke!
You'll have the place on fire!
Don't worry, woman. Ben and I can manage a few lambs. Ben, there's one loose by the plum tree.
Father?
It's not unlike rounding up horses, and I've done that often enough.
What?
Ben, get her in the hurdle.
Father?
We'll be in town by nightfall. Rest up and sell first thing tomorrow.
Aye, well, rest up and calm and graze them. And don't let them drink today. You want a good thirst on them. Then water them well just before you get to market. They look fatter that way.
You've more tricks than a Spanish monkey. Ben, let's go before we good honest men are corrupted by the ways of woman.
It's not good honest men you'll be selling to. It's farmers and dealers. So put your scruples in your cap, and maybe you'll get some silver in your purse.
Well, in spite of your mother's doubts, we're here. This seems as good a place as any. Pull those hurdles round. What do we do now, do you suppose?
We stand and wait, Father. Oh, don't worry, they'll come to us. Mother was right, there aren't so many lambs here. We'll sell all right.
You there with the lambs?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. You're very ready with your shares for a farmer, if you are a farmer.
I'm a farmer, sir, and these are my lambs. Do you wish to buy?
Oh, I'm sure you're a farmer now, all right. But you stand very tall and call sir across our market. I'll wager those shoulders of yours have worn a buff coat in their day, have they not?
I was a soldier, sir. I'm proud of it.
But now you're a farmer.
That's right. Now, are you to buy?
A farmer, huh? On whose land, I wonder?
On my own. My own land, given to me as a pension by Parliament.
Well, so now they're calling theft pensions, are they?
No theft. Honestly given. Do you call me
I call you nothing but Master Cromwell's man. And I'm a king's man, as most in these parts. So be not so proud. We have no love for Parliament.
Then you'll not be buying. You can stand aside.
I never said I would not buy. You have fine fat lambs, Master Parliamentarian. And I have fine calves, ready for fattening. Yeah, shall we make some trade?
I came to sell, not to barter. I will take silver, not further stock.
Silver, is it? Mm. And you, boy, do you also want silver?
What my mother told us to take, and nothing else.
Your mother? So while you wore the buff coat, now the lady wears the buff breeches, eh? Now, don't worry, I'll buy. I would not like you to go empty-handed to a parliamentary scold. Tell me your price.
Put out the lamp, Jack. I can see well enough by the candle.
Oh, and hurry, woman. It's cold without you.
There. Is that better?
It is. And my bones still ache.
It's a long way to the town and back, and you've got out of the way of marching. But you did well enough at the market. Ben says you had a quarrel and still sold well.
It was not a quarrel. The man made fun of my having been a soldier of the Parliament. Call me a buff coat.
coat and laughed.
There's not many laugh at the army. After the king's death, there was some under the scaffold who called out buff breeches, as if the executioner was from the army. Count yourself lucky you laughed. The war took a lot of lives in these parts, and country memories along.
There's a just war and a rightful cause.
That's politics, husband. It feeds no mouths and ploughs no fields. Put out the candle.
Good night, wife. My sons know more of this than I do.
They are a new folk without your beliefs. They look forward to a life of peace here, as do I. This is the life your war cheated us of.
No, this is the life we fought for, and which Parliament will preserve.
Let the past die. It's of no consequence here. What matters is that you go to the village tomorrow and buy new stock. Not sheep, but calves and pigs. They will root over the new meadow, and we will have winter bacon. Now, go to sleep.
Right enough. I will let the past die, but I cannot promise to forget it.
Good night, husband.
Good night, wife.
Mr. Wilford, how may I help you?
Some claret, please.
Claret for Master Melford. It's not often we see you here. Are you giving our market a custom now?
No, but I have some business in the village.
Master Melford prefers to do his business at the town market. Our village market's too small for him. Is that not right, Master Melford?
I will do my business wherever I can get the highest prices. Surely that is no sin.
Oh, no sin at all. Even in these Puritan times. Hey, join us, Master Melford. George, bring Master Melford's claret over here. Sit by the fire. It's cold for September.
True enough. But it's been a good enough year. The land has done well. Your health, gentlemen.
Yours. Dear me, your land has done well. And there'll be a fat profit. As well as your smithy.
The profit's there for all who wish to take it. Labour hard enough and the land will provide. It is the way of things.
The land will provide, all right. Once you're provided with the land. It was an army pension, was it not?
I cannot know what you hear. I mind my business, as you
He should mind his. I will give no heed to Robert. One day he'll trip over that nose of his and knock out what little brain he has. He is guilty of a sin, Master Melford.
Why? What sin is that?
The sin of envy. The envy of an idle man for an industrious one. You're right. It has been a good year. And I do believe you would prosper in drought or in flood. But why do you do no trade here in the village? We'd be glad to do business with you.
Well, there are keener prices in the towns nowadays, so it is worth the labour of droving. Anyway, I have my sons to help me.
Now that, sir, is your good fortune. I have four daughters, so I have little enough help on the land, and only a clatter of female voices to take me rest with. More claret, Master Melford.
Aye, welcome. Lawyer's talk is dry work.
Oh, lawyers, is it now?
Peace, I said, Robert. More claret, George, and take Robert's mug away. He has no more need of it. I'm Samuel Pickett, Master Melford.
Jack Melford, you're a good elf. You have Highwood Acres, do you not?
I do that, and it's poor enough land, I tell you. Poor indeed, beside yours.
You chose yours well, Master Melford. You have a nose for land and profit. Were you country born, or is it a gift from a parliamentary god?
Robert, let him be. No, I was not country bred, but my wife was. So she takes the greater part in the farm while I occupy myself with a smithy. I was a farrier in the war, so I killed naught but wounded horses. I'm sorry, poor Robert.
Don't you,
but I am not the parliamentary beast that you would have me be. Though my mind bends more to Parliament than to King.
Which king is that then, Jack?
There was but one, and him an elf. Charles Stuart, the tyrant.
But Jack, the moment the axe fell in London, his son became king. It's the proper order of the realm. But Charles is still king, albeit Charles II.
And he has fled to the Scots. He will not be heard of again. It is Parliament's order that we must heed now. There is no king
No, King, I tell you. He is dead and died on the scaffold in Whitehall.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, have you your winter feed in store yet?
Feed, winter feed, some of it, aye. What does that to do with kings?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Nor have kings anything to do with us. Drunk Robert here spent the whole war in this village. His son's left and never returned. Probably killed, who knows. But he stayed here and for once in his life minded his own business. He never saw a battle, never saw a soldier. He'd never have known there was a war. That's reality, Jack. Fat lambs, fat cows, full barns, carts to mend, horses to shoe, and children to raise. We don't care which party makes the laws. If they're unjust, we'll cheat. If they're just, we'll pretend we're obeying them. But really, we are looking after our own. You bend to Parliament if you will, but you are the same as the rest of us.
But if that's true, then the war was useless and the king died for nothing.
Exactly, friend. It was all for nothing.
Well, I won't believe it. It can't have been for nothing. It was for a noble cause. It was to rid the people of a tyrant, and it had to be done.
Oh, you've been well taught, Jack, and you want to believe it. But it's over.
You must be wrong. Good night, Samuel.
Good night.
Good night, landlord.
Good night, Master Alfred.
I hope his horse knows her way home. He'll be alive in the morning. Well, maybe wish he wasn't.
He's fierce for the Parliament, all right. And it's a fine living he has as a reward for it.
He's made it thrive. True enough, but how did he come by his living? That was no pension for a farrier. I've seen too many old army men, beggars. Master Melford and his wife keep themselves close. They stand apart.
He said he'd been having lawyers talk. Do you think he's buying more land?
Oh, lawyers. The perfect pudding of gold and secrets. Melford and lawyers deserve each other. Well, I'm for home.
Good night.
Good night, Samuel.
Robert.
Good night, technical Robert.
Do you want to pay for another night's lodging?
Call my sons. They'll see me home.
All right.
Very good, boys. Good boys. Post on
the floor there. Come on, old man. Come on. Let's see. Yeah.
So, I have borrowed on the forge and we can buy it. 60 more acres. And the best part of it already under the plough. For Luke and Ben in the forge, we can hire men to work it. And I'll be free to look for new chances. There's no good cottage in this district. And the carter's business is certain money. And there is a good house on the new land.
A house? We have a house.
Leave off that butter and listen, woman. We can lodge the hired man here and move to the better place. You will have charge of it, perhaps with a serving maid, I don't know. It will be for you to decide.
We're farmers and smiths. We do not have great houses and carriages. They're for the gentry.
Why should we not have our rewards? Is that so wrong?
Not wrong, no. But we'll move out of our class to nowhere. Not gentry, but not farmers. Nowhere.
Then we will be a new class. This is a commonwealth, where a man may do what he will. There's no king atop the heap. But a parliament of the people.
And Master Cromwell atop the parliament. It's the same, Jack. The order cannot change.
It has changed. And this is not overthrowing any order. It is Jack Melford buying a fine house for his good wife and giving Ben and Luke a chance to be better than labourers. You've taught them to read and write, and I will teach them the ways of business. Oh, come, Mary. Is it all so bad?
Not bad, Jack. Not bad. And I would enjoy a good house, even manage servants. But it's all moving so quickly. We've been here barely 3 years. These are not country ways to climb with such speed.
I leave the country skills to you. And I move as the army taught me, forwards. Always forwards. I learnt well in the army, Mary.
Aye, you learnt, but you never questioned. And I cannot let my butter stand. I will be happy in our new house, Jack. But let it rest there. I'm not driven to escape as you are.
Escape? Escape what?
That I do not know. But you're like a man chased by something, and it can make you hard.
I have nothing to escape from, except labor.
Then rest a while. Put your ambitions aside, and let us enjoy our lives.
I will try, Mary.
You, boy. There. Yes. You with the hammer. My horse has cast his shoe.
Father. Gentlemen.
father will come. He's just...
Yes, good, good. What's your name, boy?
Luke Melford, sir.
Well, I knew this was Melford's forge, all right. I just didn't know which one you were.
How can I help you, sir?
My horse is cast ashore. I have a piece to go yet. Can you mend her?
Can and will, sir. Luke, see to it directly.
Yes, father.
So, you're Melford. I've heard of you. You're becoming quite a name in the county.
Aye, sir. With good attached, I hope. You are Lord Bolton, are you not?
I am.
Will your lordship take the mail while the shoe is mended? And it's my wife's brew, and excellent, my lord.
Gladly.
Luke, fetch your mother, and some ale for his lordship.
Yes, but father, the shoe.
Peace, boy. Who's your bedding?
Right away, father.
I've been curious to meet you, Melford. You're doing well. And I hear 60 more acres, a man of much property.
Your lordship is well informed. Only the lawyer and myself knew of that.
I bought the lawyer his practice and with it his confidence. Ah, your good lady and her good ale. Thank you, my dear.
This is Lord Bolton.
My lord.
Mrs. Melford, your health. Ah, yes, you do brew good ale. I was praising your husband for his enterprise in these difficult times. Although you may not find the times so difficult. Eh, Melford?
My lord?
Ah, man. With your connections in London, surely you have but to snap your fingers and they will all come running.
My lord, I have no great friends.
I have had a letter about you. I'm always curious about new neighbours, so I asked our lawyer friend to inquire. I received a very precise instruction to cease my curiosity. An instruction from on high, Melford.
I do not understand, my lord.
No. Do not tell me what you are, Melford. I am almost afraid to hear it. I said I'd like to know what happened in the county, but perhaps you are here to spy on me. Mistress, does he write long letters to London about us all, eh? In secret ciphers?
No, my lord. We are...
Oh, yes, I know. But simple folk, eh? I'm sure of it. I was but jesting. Melford, can you reshaft the chaise?
Aye, my lord.
Then there's business for you at the hall.
It will be done today, my lord. Luke, there's the shoe. Are you done yet?
But father, the shoe...
I'm sure the shoe is well mended. Here, Melford.
And Luke... My lord,
see that your father pays you your portion. He's a close one with his silver, I hear. Good day, mistress. Good day. Thank you, Melford.
Father.
Yes, boy?
The shoes were all perfect, nearly new.
My lord Bolton has a long nose.
But why does he think you're a spy, Jack? And what were those letters?
Luke, see to your fire. I've told you before. I think his lordship is making mischief. It is nothing that need concern us. Be easy and get back to your kitchen. Luke, get Ben to help you with that. I'm going to the hall to mend his lordship's chaise. Oh, I wish I could mend his manners.
And then what? Well, father left for the hall and gave us this to do. Now, pass the long hammer.
Here.
It's a great puzzle.
One that is no concern of ours. Right, I'm ready.
I mean, of course it concerns us. If father has a secret, and I swear mother was astonished as I, it concerns us mightily. That Lord Bolton's visit was no chance occurrence. He didn't care if we knew. Oh, he must have known we'd guess at such a flimsy pretext. He was telling father that he also knew the secret.
Secret. Secret. The past is past. The present is this forge, and the future is more prosperity. A greater house. Horses of our own. Good marriages with land, perhaps.
Oh, marriages, land, houses. Do you want to stay here for the rest of your life?
And why not? It's a good life.
Do you never see further than our road end? There's a world of challenge out there.
There's a world of challenge here. To prosper, to rise, to become the new gentry. There's a challenge for you.
You sound just like father. Look, the war was to end privilege and the great gentry. Now you want to start them again.
Aye, and why not? So long as I can be one. A Leicestershire landlord is good enough for me.
Well, not for me. Oh, I'll not work this forge much longer, nor do father's bidding and everything. I would see London, the colonies. I want the new freedom and I'll never find it here. Your father grows harder as his past eats into him. Whatever he did has made him bitter and savage. It can only come from a great crime.
That great crime of yours paid for all this. So he gratefully committed it and was so well rewarded for it. Every day you eat it and sleep in it. And you eat well and sleep warm.
I cannot live without the certainty of it.
I can. And easily. Sweat out your maiden's conscience, Luke. It buys no britches.
Mary! Luke! Great doings!
I'm here, Father. What is it?
Where's your mother?
Seen to your new house, Father. What are the great doings?
Master Cromwell is made Lord Protector. The government is now secure.
The God bless Master Cromwell. Will he stay as a mere lord, or will we see King Oliver before long?
Be silent, boy. I'll tell you, there will be no more kings.
Why should you care so?
I care since I had a part in... I had a part in the war. Yeah.
What part, Father? What part?
I was a farrier with a new model. You know that. You know what I was.
I know what you were, Father, but what did you do? What did you do that bought this living, that started all this? This is no farrier's pension. Mother's too frightened to ask. Ben doesn't care. And Lord Bolton, I'd love to know. What was it? What did you do?
I did nothing. Captain Whittingham was a generous officer with rich friends. And when I wanted to marry your mother and leave the army, he arranged all this. No more questions, Luke.
I don't believe you. You had no need to marry. You loved the army. You wouldn't choose to leave unless they wanted it. And they wanted it because you had done something for them. Something secret. Something shameful. Why are you ashamed?
I am not ashamed. I'm proud. I've done nothing to be ashamed of.
But what are you proud of? What have you done?
Nothing. I won't be questioned by you. I did nothing.
You're lying. You're a liar. Father, you
get out. Get out of my sight. Get out of my house.
Oh, I'll go. I'll get out. I cannot stay here with a lie and a blow between us.
Luke, I'm sorry, but you tried me beyond my limits. I can tell you no more than I have. No. Let us not have bitterness between us.
I have said what I mean. Whatever you did has destroyed you. You think only of money. You use money and respectability to build a wall between you and your past, and that wall has shut me out. I want to be free of it all to find a life I'll never find here. You failed to escape your past, but I'm going to escape from mine. I'll be gone by nightfall.
Luke, it was... It...
Luke!
Don't worry.
Father? What's the matter with Luke? Father?
Your brother has gone mad. He's leaving. He says he must find a freedom of his own. Bring him back, Ben.
It'll serve no purpose, Father. Luke determined many days ago that he would leave. He has merely advanced the moment.
But why? There's a fine living for him here. You'll inherit what I build. Is that not enough?
Not for Luke. He talked of London, freedom, the colonies. He despises our little lives here. I may bring him back, but we shall not keep him.
And he is a fool.
My father, that he is. Why did you quarrel?
I struck him. I have never struck my sons. I should not have driven them away. Oh, his mother. I must tell her they were close.
No, I will prepare the ground. I am bound for the new house, and she will understand if I tell her. Have no fear.
I have, Ben. I have. It is no longer the same.
And he said no more than that?
No more. Luke wished to leave. They quarreled. Father struck him. Sought forgiveness. Luke refused and has gone to London, I fancy.
Here I am with a new house and servants I did not seek. I would as well be in the baggage train with Jack and my lads. We were happy enough then.
But we are richer now, and likely to be more so. It's not so desolate, Mother.
Richer is not happier, Ben. Has Luke taken his chattels? His clothes?
Enough for his needs, he said. He has left his horse intact.
The cob. He was very fond of it.
I think I'll try her out tomorrow.
It's a very keen price. Even my factor couldn't have beaten you down on that. Well, you don't strike me as a man who does business out of altruism, so why so low a cost?
I do business out of need, my lord. Other folk have loads to carry from time to time, harvest and the like. But with your great estates, you will need cartage all the year. With your own men mostly gone, it's much to your advantage as well as mine. So, you will use my carts.
Fear not, I shall. You fascinate me, Milford. You call me my lord, but you stand up straight and look me in the eye when you do it. It's as if... perhaps it's the soldier in you.
It is, as I was taught in the army, my lord.
I'm sure you were. You hold me your equal, do you not?
As we all are before God and Parliament.
Yeah. Your Lord Protector Cromwell has sent Parliament packing, so I should stick to God if I were you. He seems to have done well enough by you so far.
Now, it is true that the war has done me no harm.
And more than a little good. As I have lost most of my servants, large portions of my land, and much of the esteem in which I was once held. A proper order has changed, Milford, and you are part of that change. You are the coming man, not only here, but all over the country. Like it or not, there is a new class emerging. I do not care for it, but also I do not care about it. I have no issue, at least none that can inherit, so it will not affect my pleasures here. As to heaven, if you're right and God really is a parliamentary, then I imagine we will all be one dismal grey lump together. Perhaps I would prefer hell. I'm sure all my friends are there. And if Master Ireton is to be believed, I may even meet my old king. What think you, Master Milford? Did the headsman send the king to hell?
I know not of these matters, my lord.
Spoken like a true politician.
My lord, I must take my leave.
Yes, of course. You must see to your new house, eh?
My wife is already there. My men are with her. And
I will call and see it soon.
But my lord, it's...
No, 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 Milford. I'm insatiably curious, that's all. Good day to you.
Good day, my lord. Is it all arranged as you wished?
It's all strange to me, and will be for a time yet. I cannot find things I know we have, but all will settle. It will be a fine house for you.
And for you.
Oh, I'm glad to have it, that's true enough. But I never sought it.
But we must make progress, we must go on.
Must we? A farmer's life is a circle. The seasons go round, the cows calve, and the crops grow and are harvested. It is a circle, and I'm comfortable inside it. But you talk of going on, always in a straight line, upwards. And I'm at times uneasy. I need a pause on the way. That's all, Jack. No more changes for a time.
Have no fear. There will be no more changes. And nothing was broken?
Not of importance. There was one thing, but I'll speak of it later, after we've eaten. Your axe is still in pride of place above the fire.
Pride of place, yeah. So it is.
Where's Sarah? Is she not here to help you?
Indeed, but all is prepared, and I wished our first meal here to be alone. Ben is off on some errand of his own.
And where is his errand?
Jack, he's a young man with silver in his purse, and the village is full of lasses. Would you have answered such a question?
Not even to my most trusted comrade, and never to my father, else I might never have found you.
So there is a spark of romance in you. I feared your account books had become your new mistress.
You are my best mistress and my best wife. And always will be, I fear. Without you and the boys, Ben, I mean, there is no point to all this striving.
But you've seemed so hard, so cut off.
I have had to put my past life, the army, behind me, and begin again as a private man. With this property, I believe I have achieved this. I have come to the end of a long journey.
Here. Ale and meat.
Are you not eating? Well, you must be.
I'm as hungry as you are, but there is something of which I must speak.
Right. Speak then.
I told you something was broken.
Right. Nothing of great value, I hope. We possess nothing of great value.
Your soldier's box. The men...
What? My box? How came that about? Did you...
The men lifted it, and it was lighter than they thought. It sprang from them and split open.
And?
After they left, I saw its contents. Jack, it was all nigh empty. A letter and a hank of rope.
Did you read that letter, Mary?
I could not help but read it. So long guarded, I had to know what it said.
It was a secret. I was bound not to say even to you. Do you know what that letter means?
It's signed by Master Ireton, and he was a great man, so it is a letter of great import. But addressed to whom it may concern, who is that?
If I was attacked or accused, and felt myself to be in danger, then I was to show the letter, and the army council would make me safe. It was an assurance I was given when I left my service. Part of the debt the army owed me, I might have to repay in the future.
Why should you be in danger? We've done nothing but make our way. So why not tell them the truth?
What truth? What do you mean?
That you did a great deed for one of your officers and that he preferred you. There's no shame or danger in that.
Indeed, there is not. But Mary, it is not the truth.
Then that you did a great deed for Master Ireton, and so the reward was greater. If there is no secret, then there is no danger.
There is with mine the greatest danger.
What is your secret, Jack? For pity's sake, it's lain between us like a sword. I love you, Jack, but this doubt can split us like a rotten tree. Tell me now.
I cut off the king's head.
Jack! You cannot tell me that!
I must tell you. In Whitehall 6 years ago, I killed the tyrant Charles Stuart with the axe that you have put in Praetor Place. That is the great deed, the secret, the shame. And there is no more. All of this was bought with a stroke of my axe.
But you were a soldier. You were ordered. You did no more than your duty, Jack. No one can harm you for that.
But I did it willingly, with pride. I believed what I was told, that he had destroyed his country, made war on his people. Mary, the people did not care. I've seen it here. And his tyranny has been replaced. Now we are ruled by major generals, many petty tyrants in place of one. And even though in exile, there is still a king. I achieved nothing. The war achieved nothing. It was all pointless. But I put on my rope mask, the very rope in my box, and I took my axe and cut off the king's head. My guilt, my shame, my secrets, all for a theory that makes no difference, that no one cares about, and will not last. And when the order does change, I will be in even greater danger. Then no letter will protect me or us, Mary. We will be naked to revenge.
Oh, Jack, why could you not have trusted me? Why could you not have told me?
I would have done. I was proud. And that night I wanted to tell. But you were appalled at what you had witnessed, and I delayed. That delay was a lie, and once a lie starts, it cannot be stopped. I could not tell you on our wedding day. And the secret has remained between us. I would it had been otherwise, Mary, believe me. Please believe me now, please.
I do believe you, Jack. Now there is no lie, no secret. I forgive you as I would have forgiven you then. Oh, it's as if a cloud has passed over us and we can breathe again.
Then you do not hate me for what I have done?
Hate you? No, Jack. Poor Jack. Secrets breed loneliness. And we've been apart these years. Now we can be together again. My fears have gone.
Have you no fears for us?
No. Not for us. I fear the crops failing. I fear men making another war. I fear you're falling sick. I have plenty of fears. But now that I know all, I have no fears for us. At last we can support each other. We can share all. Oh, Jack, I'm so happy. We will bury the past together.
I love you, Mary.
And I you, husband. Shall we walk together in our new garden?
Aye, let us do that. Give me your hand.
Thank you, landlord.
Over here, Milford. Well, what brings you here? More lawyers' talk? More land to buy?
No, no, Samuel. No more land. I have enough for the nonce, you may rest assured.
Oh, may I? Well, I'm mighty relieved. But after the nonce, am I to lose my meadows, or am I only to lose my daughter?
Your daughter?
Aye, my Lucy. Your Ben is sniffing hard. He's frightened off the other village lads.
Has he, by God? Well, talk to the rogue.
No, no, let him be. Lucy's fond enough, and, well, he's a good lad. He'll make a good match. That is, if our wives tell us so, then we'll be sure of what we think. You may have those meadows soon enough.
Oh, I had no idea. I knew he's playing court.
I only knew when Abigail told me. Women do not like us to have too much knowledge of these affairs. We'll talk of the dowries when we're told to, though it would make you second only to Lord Bolton.
Master Milford, your man is there.
All right, I'll come directly. Good day, Samuel.
Good day.
Talk again, no doubt.
When our wives tell us to. Good day. Hey, what man is that has come for you?
Man from the coaches. He's come to buy from Master Melford.
Oh, Carteridge, and now coaching. Soon he'll own your inn.
Soon he'll own the county.
I did not know your lordship had called. I would have...
No matter. Your girl has seen me provided.
This is foul news from London, my lord. A savage act.
Yes, righteousness mounts a white horse, but vengeance rides a black one. I should have thought the trial would have been judgment enough, but Parliament thought otherwise. The king had no part in it.
Will it end with this, do you think?
Who knows? I would hope so. But I have very little hope where the humanity of my fellow beings is concerned. There must be many now in fear for their lives. Eh, Master Melford? So many... skeletons, rattling with terror.
Hi, my lord. Ah, Mary, at last.
My lord, I hope you're well.
Well enough, mistress. How is your daughter-in-law?
In good health, and happy to be with child.
You will gain grandchildren as easily as Jack here gains land. A pity your Luke is absent, or his eyes would be on my daughter, and Jack's on me grazing.
You would not aim so high, my lord.
It would have made sense. Jack is a magnate now. Old land must marry new money. It's the way of things. Have you heard from Luke?
A year ago, my lord, and I doubt if we shall hear again.
But he is well and prosperous.
He is in Virginia, my lord, and well enough. Though he seeks a career in politics.
Well, safe enough, if you choose the winning side. Or have wit enough to join it in time. Which brings me to my matter here. I have something to ask of you, Milford.
I will take my leave of your lordship, then.
I will not detain your good man long, my dear. Thank you for the wine and cakes.
Good day, my lord.
Good day. Now, Milford, if I may...
What is this thing you have to ask?
I said it was wise to join the winning side. Even more so after the events in London. You would not want some zealots to come seeking regicides here, I feel.
I have nothing to fear, my lord.
Yes, I'm sure you have not, Milford. But if any others were to have doubts, it would be wise to have taken some precautions so that your loyalty to the new regime would be beyond all doubt. Would it not?
It would be prudent, yes, my lord.
A poor man may have principles when he has little to lose. But you would have much to lose. Property, family, an investment in the future. That's what must concern you. Forget your past and your great deeds for the Parliament. Whatever they were, forget them, and others will likewise forget them. Do you follow me, man?
I follow you, my lord. It is becoming a long road.
To the point, then. I am to be made Lord Lieutenant of this county.
Oh, congratulations, my lord.
Thank you. It's a fairly hollow honour, but it has its privileges, and one of these is to make certain appointments. Justices, for example. Now, do you see the end of my road?
I see it. Do not believe my eyes. Your lordship, a royalist, wishes to appoint me a parliamentarian as a justice of the peace.
Ah, politics are dimming your sight, man. I, as an old landowner who loves this country, and in spite of my lightness, I do love it. Wish to appoint you, who have so much interest in keeping this country as it is, to be a guardian of its peace. It is to my advantage, and believe me, much to yours. If regicide hunters do come, then the court of the King's Justice would be a strange place indeed to look. Though, as you say, you have nothing to fear.
But I have no learning. I was a farrier.
2 years ago, the king was a French pauper. Times change. You're a landowner, a man of business now, and have no fear. Your duties will not harm your business. It need not take too much of your time, and there are clerks for the learning. It can be to your advantage. Position never harms business.
Well, it is, of course, an honor, and...
Yes, discuss it with your Mary. She will make sense of it for you. Mistress Melford, send me your answer tomorrow.
I will, my lord. I must thank...
Do so, Melford. Ah, Mistress Melford. And Ben. How is the father-to-be and Mistress Lucy?
Oh, we are all well. But this weather, I fear for the harvest.
Oh, Melford, you have fathered a farmer. They have more complaints than the Parliament. Give me your answer soon. Good day to you. Good day, Mistress.
Good day, my lord. Father, have you heard of the executions?
You cannot execute dead man. It was but butchery.
What executions? What dead man?
The Parliament have dug up the corpses of Cromwell, Ireton, and Bradshaw and hanged all three at Tyburn.
And cut off their heads to put on poles. They say it took 8 blows to take the head off Cromwell, and the old king's came off in one. Headsman has lost his skill, eh?
Be quiet. It was a different man.
Let us speak no more of such matters. It is enough to hope that this will put a halt to the hunt for regicides. Such vengeance is unnecessary in these times.
What did his lordship want? Mother said he had some business with you. Is it the mill?
No, it is stranger than that. He has asked me to be a justice of the peace. He is made Lord Lieutenant.
Jack! He cannot!
Oh, yes, he can. As Lord Lieutenant, he can. You will say yes, Father. There is advantage in it for all.
There are times when one must consider more than advantage.
Oh, I cannot imagine any. Ah, justice. You could become Sir James Melford. A knight's son, Mother. And you, Lady Melford, the justice's lady. Perhaps not only a knighthood.
I know. You would prefer a baronetcy to inherit. Curb your greed and look to your wife. I want to talk alone with your mother. And remember, I have not yet accepted.
Ah, but you will, Father.
I was ambitious. But he is greedy.
Ambition in the young is much like greed. Pay him no heed. Will you say yes, Jack?
I must. If I did not, I would have to give the reason, and you know that I cannot do. So I must bear it and serve King Charles II, and once again hide my deceit.
It's no great deceit to take an honor freely given.
It is given for self-interest, and I must take it for self-preservation. No great deceit. It is foul hypocrisy. I will give the king's justice while lying to escape hanging myself. Before, I concealed the deed and lied even to you to keep my guilt secret. Now I shall be living that lie every day I sit below the royal arms.
Then refuse. Say there's too much to do with the farms, the cartage and smithies. Say you cannot. Oh, Jack, what are we to do?
I must accept, and I must bear it and hope for God's forgiveness. Hard labor stifled my conscience before. Let us pray it may do so again.
Oh. Hold tight, Jack. We're all but there.
You're a good neighbor. Where are we going?
I'm taking you home. You've had a tumble, but you're all right now.
A drum. We should have a drum to follow.
Yes, Jack.
A leader of discipline. We knew we were right. We had orders to follow. Follow our drum. Our officers gave us justice, Samuel.
Oh, Mary will give you justice, Jack.
Guilty justice. Guilty. You know that, Samuel. Did you?
Yes, Jack. Now, we're nearly there.
I'm the king's justice, but I killed the king, and I cannot get any justice. We give it out, but I haven't got any of my own. Can you give away what you have none of? Can you do that, Samuel, can you?
No, Jack, you cannot. Oh, we're out of the light. Now, hold on, Jack. Hello there. Help here. Hello.
Hello, sir. Come here.
Fetch your mistress. I'll see to the master. And be quick.
Mistress.
Now, easy, Jack. Down. Easy. Oh, here's Mary.
You found
her.
Jack. Oh, bring him in.
He must have fallen asleep and driven into the ditch. He's shaken, that's all. And the horse is well. I'll have the boy bring her over.
Let's get him indoors. Aye. That's better.
Oh, tired, Mary. Too much work. Oh, Sammy, I'll tell you. Almost sleep. News tomorrow. Make you laugh. Mary, will you be all right?
As right as I've been these few months. Good neighbor Samuel, he's drunk. He's not asleep. I don't need pretenses, thank you. He's not been so bad before. He's always come home. Thank you, Samuel.
How long have you suffered this?
Nigh on a year now. Sometimes better, oftentimes worse.
Since the time he became justice, he muttered of that.
What did he mutter?
Drunken ramblings. That he was a guilty justice and the king would kill him for it. I could barely hear against the wind. There is no trouble between you, is there? Is there aught Abigail or I can do?
Naught, Samuel. I'm glad for your help. I will talk with him in the morning. Now, get you home.
You're a brave wife, Mary. But a talk will not cure Justice Melford. He has a devil which he cannot drive away. I've seen it in men before.
There's a devil Jack and I must face alone, Samuel. Again, thank you, and get you home to Abigail.
Abigail told me she has a new way to cure hams. If you call, she'll show you.
Good, Samuel. Abigail cannot help us either, so your kind deception is not needed. But we will meet soon.
Good night, Mary.
Good night, Samuel. Jack.
Hmm?
Jack. Waken. Hmm. I have some curds and honey for you here. Are you recovered?
Recovered? From what should I recover?
You had a fall from the carriage. Your head was hurt.
And still does. And from more than a fall. How came I home alone?
Samuel saw you safe. He's a good neighbor and shares my distress.
Distress? Why should he share what?
He is our neighbor and friend, and your distress is plain. I've waited for you to share it with me. You cannot bear your load alone forever.
Loads? Distress, Mary, you cannot know. And yesterday...
Jack, I love you. I know you. I know what you did, but that should all be behind us. Why, then, do you torture yourself and me?
I do not wish to. But I have been forced to live a lie. A justice without peace and more guilty than any man in the land. Now there is worse to come. I saw Lord Bolton yesterday and he gave me this. It is the final irony. Read it, read it. And see if you can find me a way out of this maze. Read it, Mary, read it.
It's a grand document. To my trusty and well-beloved, commanded into the presence at Bolton Hall, given under our hand. Jack! You're to meet the king! At Bolton Hall! When? When is it to be?
In 2 weeks. He is visiting his lord's lieutenant and wishes the local justices to be presented to him. I am to meet the man whose father I murdered. Now do you see why I fled to drunkenness? How can I bend the knee and smile with my guilt inside me?
You cannot. It's impossible. You must not go.
It is a royal command, wife. I may not disobey. Shall I give the true reason? Shall I tell all? The last and worst of the regicides, the very murderer. Is that what I must say?
You must say nothing. And you need not disobey. You will have a fever. It's not difficult, and but a tiny deceit.
And I will once again avoid what I have done. Without expiation, I will go on with guilt and shame. I must face my crime eventually. I cannot run forever, this much I have learned. I must face the new king and beg his forgiveness.
And destroy all that we have made here? Our lives and our prosperity? Our future?
Ben's future? You must not do anything. I mean, nothing has changed. Nothing. Forget all this. Ignore the king's visit and leave the deception to your good wife. My conscience is more malleable than yours. I beg you, remain calm. I will arrange it all.
Mary, you were ever practical, as I am ever confused.
Then together we are a union to match the world.
Oh, you are right, I'm sure. But it was these hands of mine that wielded the axe, and my conscience that must find peace. I will not harm you or our future. Thank you for the curds and honey. I have business to see to. Trust me, Mary. This is our last hurdle.
Aye, Jack. Let us pray so.
That, I think, completes all the arrangements. My stewards are well instructed. House guests are all arrived.
His Majesty may wish to relax privately after the official duties are done. Is there...
No, indeed, indeed. A mistress, all this. She's wearing a blue taffeta gown, I'm told. She
has a husband?
Oh, yes. But he is bidden to London.
Good. His Majesty is often very amiable to such husbands.
I am never amiable towards husbands.
This one has left his lady here while attending to his affairs in London, sire.
Ah, then he is an amiable husband. Is all ready, Colonel?
My Lord Bolton assures me so. There are some 20 people to meet, sire, and some 50 in the house. How many are called to the garden?
Some 100 or so, sire.
I will not mingle with them.
No, sir.
Perhaps you have a window.
A window? I have many windows.
I will select one, sire. His Majesty will wave to the garden crowd from a window.
They will be well pleased.
Is your Majesty sufficiently rested?
My bowels are empty, my bladder easy. We will meet our people. Bolton, on my right. Colonel, you know your place, sire.
Open the doors.
Ben, where's your father? He's not in his room and his best clothes are gone. Have you seen him?
Well, his best clothes have gone with him, Mother. He's gone to the hall to be presented. He left these 20 minutes back.
He promised he would not. He must be stopped.
What?
He's not in possession of his senses. Right after him.
Well, no use, Mother. He'll be there now. Indeed, he rode like a man possessed. What is occurring, Mother? You're in a great fluster. What is it?
Ben, I cannot tell you. You must simply help me. Take me to the hall directly. Come, Ben.
Mother, you're still in your mourning dress. What of your new silk?
There's no time for that. We must be off directly. I would I could make all plain, Ben, but I cannot.
He gave great help to your Majesty's supporters during the late troubles. He is now in much reduced circumstances, sire.
Colonel, see this good fellow is well rewarded for his loyalty.
I will see to it directly, sire.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
And this?
May I present Master Melford, Justice of Your Majesty's Peace in this county.
Ah. Your Majesty, I wish I...
Come, come. Do not kneel. No man need kneel before his sovereign.
Up. Up, good justice.
Sire, I must beg your forgiveness. It was a long time ago.
Bolton, what does this fellow want?
I know not, sire.
Is he in drink? No, sir, I am not. But you must forgive me. You must.
Bolton, he is...
Sire...
Melford, for God's sake.
You are a loyal fellow, and will have my personal seal on your appointment. Bolton, is there someone else?
Yes, sir. May I present Mistress Aldy?
You may, Bolton. Indeed, you may. And you may leave us. Now, madam, I swear you have the fairest skin in all the county. May we serve you some posset with our own hands?
So, Melford, you have prospered. What were you saying to His Majesty?
Captain Whittingham. You were in the king's company?
Colonel, now, Melford. I saw, as I hazarded you, the turn of the wind, and General Monk was kind enough to reward me with a colonelcy. What was your affair with His Majesty?
I must beg his forgiveness for what I did, for what we did.
his father. We were responsible.
You must be silent. You will ask him nothing. You will keep your peace. I will...
Whittingham, attend me here.
At once, sire. Melford, we will talk further. Remain here. I will rejoin you.
The captain, the king. I must see him.
Mary, what ails you? You are in a bother.
Everything, Jack. I must speak with him.
He must be in the house. His Majesty is to greet us from a window soon. He will have met Jack by now. Well, why must you speak with him?
Neighbour, he's deranged. I'm afraid he may upset the king. I can calm him if I can find him. He may spoil all. Oh, Samuel, what is that?
Oh, they're mounting guards on the doors. I expect His Majesty will appear soon.
No, I fear it's something else.
My lord, have you had sight of Justice Milford?
Has he distressed His Majesty?
By the grace of God, no. Now, where is he?
I will not be hectored by you, sir. This is my house and the king, my guest.
My apologies, my lord, but it is imperative...
Yes, enough, enough. I saw him go towards the kitchen some minutes ago. What's the matter, Colonel? Is His Majesty displeased?
His Majesty is much pleased with Mistress Aldis and will remain so for some time. I will pursue the good justice. Look to your guest. The king is well pleased, I do assure you.
But I must enter. My husband is a justice and a guest in the house. Now let me pass.
Madam, I may not. Colonel Whittingham has given me strict orders.
Have a care there. Who are you, madam?
I am Mistress Melford. And you are...
Yes, yes, I am Colonel Whittingham. Enough of that. Where is your husband?
Within the house, sir. I must see him before he meets the king.
He has already had that privilege.
Oh, dear God. He's not well.
Fear not. It was all averted. But we must find him, for all our sakes. Has a man passed from here in the last few minutes?
Aye, sir, and in a great distress.
Why did you not stop him?
Oh, my orders were that no one should enter, sir.
Where might he have gone, madam?
To our home. What passed between him and the king?
Nothing, by God's mercy. He wished to confess all, but His Majesty had no interest and was diverted.
So he received no forgiveness?
None at all. Did he want it?
More than anything. I must go home and seek him there. Will you follow?
Well, I may. I must attend His Majesty. Good luck to you.
I may drive no faster, Mother. Whatever we have to face, it will be as well to face it intact.
Do your best, Ben. I'm fearful that we may be too late, and that I dread what we may find.
What, Mother? What may we find?
That your father has harmed himself.
Why should he do such a thing? There are secrets between you, and I am outside them. I cannot best help you if I am not to be told.
Your father has a burning guilt that we have become rich by the deaths of men. For him to meet the king was the final irony, and I fear that it may have unbalanced his mind. That's all. But now you see why I'm fearful.
That is not all, Mother. But it is all that I will be told, so it is enough. His horse, there in the yard, and untethered. Whoa! Whoa! Come. He must be in the house.
The kitchen. Look in the kitchen.
Let me lead, Mother. Do not go first.
Jack! Jack, are you there?
Father! Mother, stay back! Do not enter!
Mother! Jack! Oh, Jack! Ben, help! Jack!
There was nothing anyone could have done, Mother.
Where is he now?
He's in the kitchen. I have laid him on the table. But, Mother, this rope, it has...
What of it?
Well, the rope he had... The rope he used. It is like no other I have seen. It has pieces of hair glued to it.
Let me see. I'm sorry, Mistress. Truly sorry.
Who are you? Where did you come from?
This is Colonel Whittingham, your father's old commanding officer. This is Ben.
My condolences, Master Ben.
Why are you here?
I'm in attendance on His Majesty and was warned that this might happen. Ben, will you leave us? I wish to talk with your mother alone.
Mother?
Aye, leave us, Ben. I will call for you soon.
Very well.
This rope, do you know?
I can well guess. It was the disguise, was it not? When you and Jack stood together on the scaffold.
So he told you. I often wondered.
He held the secret for many years, but... Yes, he told me. No one else knows. Nor ever will.
Good. So let it be.
And now you serve the sun, and so have risen in rank.
Like your general, your conscience has turned about face. A good soldierly conscience.
It is as you say. The first duty of a soldier is to survive and serve whatever master holds the power. Consciences, like high principles, are for those who can afford them.
My Jack paid too high a price for his. He believed what you taught him, but you turned him out of school before the lesson was complete. He could not turn when others did.
Indeed. One day's good is another's evil. He was a good, honest soldier, but these times suit trimmers, and honesty doesn't march to the drum of progress. How are you left, mistress? This seems a fine house, and you have a good son.
I am well left in prosperity, but poorly left in bed. Would rather go back to being snug in the baggage train than comfortably solitary here. But since I cannot go back, then here I am.
I will ensure that you are well provided. I will arrange...
You do nothing. No more letters to the powerful, I beg of you. And my silence is assured without gold, so sleep easy.
I am certain of it, and I shall sleep easy. It is my habit. And look, you do the same.
In time I may. Goodbye. And pray we never meet again. Send Ben to me now. There are things to be done. Jack Melford's body must be buried with his secret.
Farewell, mistress. Ben, come. Look to your mother.
Mother, go you upstairs. Lucy will see to you. I will do all that is needed here.
Are you quite cold, Ben? Have you no tears for your father?
I never knew him, Mother. He bred me, raised me, taught me, and fed me. I have to thank him for all that I have. But I never knew him. He built a wall round himself, and I was outside it, as were you until but recently.
Then why do I not cry? I feel pain, but no grief.
I have no answers to such subtle questions. Perhaps you will weep later, with Lucy. Go to her. She will comfort you now, as she and I will look after you in the future. Go, Mother.
The church will not give him consecrated ground. He will have to lie outside the churchyard.
Go, Mother, go. I will see to all.
Aye, Ben. I'm sure you will.
Three days of sunshine. Jack would have been looking to his harvest.
He learned country ways well enough. Is Abigail to come today?
She will meet us at the church. She and Lucy have prepared the breakfast.
How did Ben arrange the church? I thought...
Well, he has a winning tongue and an open purse. The church's objections fell like corn to the scythe.
Jack would not have sought to change the church.
Then he can argue it in heaven.
If he's there.
I'm sure he is, Mary. Arguing principles, as he ever did. Debating the angels to distraction.
Mother, the men are all but done. They're in the kitchen.
Thank you, Ben.
Good harvest then, Ben.
Any more of this sunshine, it'll all be scorched.
Your lawyers, mistress. If you wish to take your leave.
No. Jack and I have said all. You may close it.
Very good, mistress.
No, wait. Put this with him. He would have wanted to be buried with it. Here, take it.
An axe? What would he want with an axe?
He was a farrier, and this was his axe. He was proud of it. He did a great deed with it once. Lay it in his hands.
As you please, mistress. Nothing more?
No. Nothing. Nothing more.
I shall say but very short prayers, and then thrust out my hands.
Stand close. Wait for him to stretch.
steady. Now.
Jack Melford was played by Struan Roger and Mary by Sarah Kestelman. Lord Bolton, Christopher Benjamin. Whittingham, Peter Baldwin. Chard, Kim Wall. Colonel Hacker, John Sampson. Ben, John McAndrew. Luke, Stephen Tomkinson. Samuel, Michael Tudor Barnes. Charles I, Michael Beacon. Charles II, Steve Hodson. With John Badley, Peter Craze, Anthony Jackson, and Stephen Harold. Melford's Axe was written by Roderick Graham and directed by Jane Morgan.